Good evening, everybody. Tonight's shiur is going to be a pre-Shavuos shiur discussing the topic of eating milchiks on Shavuos. First of all, where does the minhag come from? Second of all, if you do that, meaning if you do eat milchiks on Shavuos, what are some of the halachos that are going to come into play, especially for those of you who might have families who are very carnivorous and very into their meat and want to have meat meals but yet still want to have your milchiks? How are you able to have milk and meat, not together, but one after another? Obviously, you can't have milk after meat, but we'll see at the end of the shiur the halachas of having meat after milk just for a few minutes. But let's talk about the minhag in general. You're all familiar with, we know that cheesecakes, this is the height of the season when cheesecakes are the most ripe. And if you go to Kifu, there's certainly, this is the time. I remember when I was in Lakewood, when I was in yeshiva in Lakewood, there was always a tension that a yeshiva bachur has to sort of balance between, on one hand, what greater yantif to be in yeshiva than Shavuos. But on the other hand, it's 2 days of yantif with yeshiva food. So the cook in Lakewood happened to be a fellow, a young religious fellow who felt it his, he wasn't just doing it as a job, but he lived his job as a cook for the Lakewood Yeshiva as a real Avodas HaKodesh in every sense of the word. And for him to make the Yeshiva Bacharim appreciate Shavuos in Yeshiva, he actually made 3 different kinds of cheesecake. There was blueberry cheesecake, there was strawberry cheesecake, there was plain cheesecake, thing, maybe chocolate cheesecake. So, 'tis the season. Why do we have cheesecake? And so we'll start with the more common understanding, which is that of the Mishnah Berurah that many of you might have heard. We'll talk about a few others. One or two you might have heard, a few I'm confident you probably haven't heard. And we'll also talk about arguments back and forth, why these specific explanations might be good explanations or might have weaknesses. So the one that you might have heard is, of course, we got the Torah on Shavuos. And in the Torah, we found out that there are all these halachas about shechita. If we could just go through and think about how many halachas are involved, besides shechita, which is itself a whole skill, and of course you have to have a sakin that's an unusual sakin that doesn't have any pegimos, which are, you know, nicks in the blade, and that obviously you have to have prepared beforehand, and you have to have all the halachas are shechita. Besides that, you also have to know how to do nikur. Anyone know what nikur is? I never knew it. I mean, I heard of nikur, but I never saw nikur until this week for the first time in my life from one of the only people in the United States of America who is trained to do nikur. What is nikur? There is a mitzvah in the Torah. Let me rephrase that. There's a lotase in the Torah that's a chi of kares that says you're not allowed to eat chelev. What's chelev? Prohibited fats. There are permitted fats. There are prohibited fats. Those that are prohibited, some of them are asr, midah, raisa, chi of kares. Aside from that, there's also Gid Hanasha, which is a lo ta'aseh. So usually, us Ashkenazim, certainly Americans, when they do shechita on an animal, they just take out the front half of the animal and serve for us kosher Ashkenazim. And the back half of the animal, where the Gid Hanasha exists, where most of the chalavim that are asr, both midoraisa and perhaps even kares, they just sell it to other people in America who are not necessarily particular about kashrus. In Israel, where you don't have that flexibility, and people want to use the entire animal because most of the meat is actually on the latter part of the animal, so they do nikur. Nikur is the act of digging out the gid hanasha, removing all of those chelevs, those membranes of fat, the fat membranes and the bits of fat. And there are actually, I saw this week in a sefer, I think, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but in the range of 112 either sinews or I think 112 bits of chelev and 51, I don't remember if they were blood vessels or parts of a gid hanasha. We're talking about 170 different little pieces within the animal that have to be either cut or removed entirely. So that's a lot to learn if you got the Torah just minutes ago and now you want to shecht yourself some Shavuos afternoon steak. And by the way, on Sukkot, Pesach. I was in Muncie for the last days of Pesach, and while we were walking for a meal, we saw somebody grilling a barbecue, the Chavad Pesach. And on the second day of Yantif, you could do it on the first day, right? You're allowed to take a fire from a fire on Yontif. So barbecues are certainly within the spirit, very much so, of Yontif. So we have shechita with a sakin that has to be prepared, and the shechita, and you have to do the nikur from all the chaylev and the dam. And of course, you also have to do, what else do you have to get rid of? Besides taking out the blood vessels, you have to get rid of the dam, which requires malicha, salting. And what are they going to cook? Meat has to be cooked. You can't eat meat in the raw. So how do you cook meat? In pots. Well, all of your pots, when you just got the Torah, were all not kosher pots. So therefore, there were so many different halachas that had to be taken care of. We didn't eat meat, we had milk. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says is his idea. That's, I think, the more common idea. Now let's talk about a number. Who here has heard this as the explanation of why we eat milchiks on Shavuos? Okay, that's, I think, the common understanding. Let's talk about some challenges that you might never have realized, and you'll see that that suggestion doesn't really make any sense if you know a little bit of history, or at least Gemara history that the Gemara tells us about. First of all, what day of the week was the Torah given on? Let's start a step before that. What day of the month is Shavuos? Let's take a guess. What? The 6th, right? Vav Sivan? So you're half right. That's what half of the opinions say in the Gemara. And the other opinion in the Gemara is that it was on the 7th day. But even whether you hold that it's on the 6th or 7th day of Sivan, even though we're all taught that it was the 6th, but the Gemara suggests it might be the 7th, whether you hold it was on the 6th or 7th of Sivan, all agree, based on Gzer Shava, which we don't have to go into, that the day of the week on which the Torah was given is Shabbos. So now let's just do a little bit of math. On Shabbos, we ate milchiks because we couldn't shecht it. You can't shecht on Shabbos. You can't do nikur. You can't do nikur on Shabbos. You can't salt the meat. Well, we can't cook the meat. We can't cook the meat on Shabbos anyway. So that whole explanation that we just gave doesn't work. It's Shabbos. You couldn't have cooked it anyway. How could you say the reason why on Shavuos we eat milchiks is because we couldn't cook the meat and shecht the meat because we have all these mitzvahs that we just receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's not why. And by the way, when did we receive the mitzvah of Shabbos? We already were mitzvah in Shabbos from Mara, which was, I don't know, a few weeks before probably. We already had the mitzvah of Mara of Shabbos from Mara. We were already mitzvah in the mitzvahs of Shabbos. So how could you tell me that the reason why I have to eat cheesecake on Yontif, on Shavuos, is to... Because that's what the Jews did. The Jews couldn't have meat on Shabbos afternoon. Of course they can't have meat on Shabbos afternoon. Of course they couldn't cook new things or shecht it on Shabbos. So that's the first argument why it doesn't make sense that that's the reason for our minhag of eating milchiks on Shavuos. Second argument against this reasoning is Bnei Yisrael didn't have time to do all these mitzvahs. Let me ask you a more fundamental question. When did Bnei Yisrael even have... What Torah did we get at Har Sinai? What was the Torah that we received at Har Sinai? Aseres HaDibros. Does it say in the Aseres HaDibros all of the different various halachos and mitzvahs that we mentioned? It's true, the Smag writes that hinted within the Aseres HaDibros are remazim to all of the 613 mitzvahs, and if you look at the Smag, he explains, Sefer Mitzvahs HaGadol, he explains how all of 613 mitzvahs are themselves hinted in the Aseres HaDibros. But it would take a very long time to explain all those. I mean, the Smag is a big book. It's actually not so big, but the commentaries on it are very big. When would we ever have time to have learned these halachas? Not to learn these halachas. Of course you didn't have time to learn the halachas. But how would we even have the opportunity on Shavuos, on the day of Matan Torah, to know that there are all of these halachas? When did Moshe get a chance to teach us that there's this thing called Shechita, and Chelev, and Dam, Kiranash Alkei maybe, and all the specifics of Shechita, and the Chelevs, and all the things that we have to take care of when it comes to... We didn't even have a chance for him to tell us that there are all of these Isurim in the first place. So how could you say, oh, we didn't want to eat meat on that day of Shavuos because we found out all these halachas? We didn't find out anything. All those halachas were probably taught to Moshe, from Moshe to Bnei Israel, over the course of the next, I don't know, weeks, months, maybe even years. Yeah.
Did we already know about
Gid HaNasha? Yes. With everything with the exception of Gid HaNasha, yes. Yeah. Even though our that which you and I have a mitzvah, to not eat kidhanasha, that which we have a lotase, we are not obligated at all from Yaakov's time. That obligation was reinstated. All the mitzvahs that we have, including Bris Milah, which Avraham did and was mitzvah and to do to his children, we, nowadays, after Har Sinai, are only obligated from the koach and the point in history from Har Sinai and nothing before. So, but you're right, we didn't know about Kiranasha before. Okay, so first question is, it was Shabbos, you couldn't do the Shechita, you couldn't do all the Malicha, you couldn't do a Bishul anyway. Second question, Moshe didn't have time to teach any of these halachos. So how could we say, oh, we have cheesecake because we didn't have time to shecht. We didn't know about Shechita. Third question, what were Bnei Yisrael eating at this time in history? What were they eating? They weren't eating meat and they weren't eating milk. They didn't have cheesecake and they didn't have beef. They were eating man. Slav didn't come later. Slav was in the second year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how could you say that we have a minhag to eat cheesecake because Bnei Yisrael, on the day of Matan Torah, couldn't shecht meat, so we ate milchiks? No, we didn't. We were eating man since we left Mitzrayim until now. We had a little bit of matzah left from the first, let's say, few days after we left Mitzrayim, and after that we were eating man. So how could we say that that's the reason why we eat milchiks on Shavuos, because they had to eat milchiks, they didn't eat fleishas. By the way, just a quick joke, for the man, which is better in Yiddish, so I'll tell it to you in Yiddish. I'll laugh, and then I'll explain it to English, and it's not going to be funny in English, so just laugh with me, please. The Chavetz Chaim was asked, we're all taught, based on Chazal, that the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. So the Chavetz Chaim asked, what happens if you weren't thinking about anything? What would it taste like? So the Chavetz Chaim answered, and please work with me on the Yiddish, I'm a trachnisht as hotnisht kentam. please. Which doesn't translate into English, but it means, well, if you don't think, it doesn't have any flavor. But the word flavor in Yiddish, tam, means it's not good. It's not good not to think. So let that be a lesson for all of us to think. Anyway, I'll keep my day job. Thank you. So why is the Mishavuah telling us that we had milchiks on Shavuos? We didn't have milchiks. We didn't have forget about Shechita. We didn't have fleishas because we just ate man, not because we learned all these halachas about Shechita. That was the third argument against this this teaching, this understanding of why we have this minhag. The fourth one is very creative, and for this we have to go into the details of the kashrus of milk. Because, we'll see in a moment, something very funny might happen to milk. There's a halacha in kashrus called hayotzei min hatahor tahor. V'hayotzei min hatamei tamei. If something comes out of a source, a parent body, that is tamei, the body from which it comes is tamei, the thing that comes out, that emanates from it, is also tamei. If the source from which something emanates is tahor, the thing that emanates itself is also tahar. Now, if you have an animal, like a cow, for example, is a cow that's walking around kosher or not kosher? I'll give you a hint. That's a trick question. If a cow that's walking around, is it kosher or is it not kosher? And the answer is not machlokas. What? It's not kosher, of course. It's Avraham HaChai. It's walking around. At this point, we call her Bessie. Betsy or Bessie? No T. Two S's. Got it. Okay, so she's Bessie. She's not me. She's Bessie. Bessie is not kosher because it's Avraham and Hachai. Not only that, but even non-Jews, even Gentiles are obligated not to eat Bessie. Once they shecht it, it's not Bessie. It's, you know, a minute steak or a, you know, whatever other roast we call it. So if milk, so that means right now Bessie is Tamei. Bessie gives milk. Hayotzim and Hatamei is Tamei. That means milk is not kosher. Right? So, why is milk kosher? So the Gemara asks this question and says it shouldn't be kosher. Milk should not be kosher. Okay, so if everybody leaves right now, you'll all come out with Rabbi Orlean's newest Chumra of the week, and it is probably Chumra of the year, perhaps, and indeed the Gemara suggests that milk ought not be kosher. So why is it? Believe it or not, and the question is so much better than the answer, because listen to the answer. Says the Gemara, we're all very Zionistic. We love Eretz Yisrael. We wave our flags on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. We recite Hallel on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. We praise Eretz Yisrael. We give speeches from pulpits about the mandate for the Jew to live in his holy land. And the Torah says that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. Would the Torah describe our sacred, beautiful land of Israel as something that's not kosher? That's the answer of the Gemara. What a letdown. The question was so much better. You have a strong halachic principle, Hayotzim and Hatamei Tamei, that tells you that milk is not kosher. And the answer is, yes, it is kosher, because how else could Hashem have described Eretz Yisrael with the word milk if it wasn't kosher? Okay, but that's the answer of the Gemara. Believe it or not, that's why we are allowed to drink milk. Because Hashem calls Eretz Yisrael the land of milk and honey, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. And it can't be that Hashem would describe Eretz Yisrael with something that's not, the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, with something that's not kosher. So it must be that milk is kosher, despite the fact that halachically it ought not be kosher. Hold on a second. We're in the middle of we're going to build something right now. So milk, we just discovered, is kosher. Why? Because of this pasuk. Now, let's do a little bit of math. What happened before this pasuk came around? Meaning, what was milk on the day before Har Sinai? Well, we weren't really Jewish. We didn't have any mitzvahs. But theoretically, if there were mitzvahs, if there was a halacha of milk before Har Sinai, before we had this pasuk, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, which we got, perhaps on Shavuos, at Matan Torah, the day before Matan Torah, milk was, we didn't have Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, so we were left with the question, which is, Hayotzim and Hayitamei is Tamei. Milk comes from Evim and Hachai. Evim and Hachai is off limits, even to Bnei Noach, whom we were before Matan Torah. And Ephraim milk before Matan Torah should have been non-kosher, it's okay, we were allowed to eat non-kosher. We didn't yet have mitzvahs. So milk was not kosher. So when did milk become kosher? When we got the pasuk Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. Now, going back to Hilchos Muktza. Why am I talking about Hilchos Muktza? I don't know if we talked about this when we talked about Hilchos Muktza in our series last year. But there's a concept that anything that's muktzah when Shabbos comes in, even if it becomes permissible and available to use on Shabbos and non-muktzah on Shabbos, it's off limits. We establish something's muktzah status the way it was as Shabbos came in. And therefore, listen to this. This is the kasha of the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, I think. Now, by the way, anyone know when the Ger Rebbe lived? Well, he still does. There are a lot of Ger Rebbes. The Ger Rebbe that this Ger Rebbe, I think the Imre Emes, he actually lived in Eretz Yisrael. It happens to be, by the way, that the Ger Rebbe right now is one of the wealthiest people in Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Because his great-great-grandparents, his great-great-grandfathers, had an incredible Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, and in a time when it was not fashionable and not even economical, he tried to buy land, large plots of land in Eretz Yisrael 100 years ago, 120 years ago, I don't know exactly, around that time period. And he bought huge plots of land, and just the Ger Chassidim held on to it. So right now they have lands worth millions and tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, because their great-grandfather had an Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, believe it or not. So on the, if you look on the, you know, Forbes, top Forbes 400, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a good chance the Ger Rebbe is among the top 400 wealthiest people in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if he's exactly in that number, but there's no question about his fabulous wealth because of that. Anyway, he actually died on Shavuos, the Imre Emes. And it was, if you know, in 1948. And in 1948, on Shavuos, what was happening in Eretz Yisrael? We were under siege in Yerushalayim from the Jordanians. We were in Yerushalayim, the Jews were in Yerushalayim in 1948, and after Yom Ha'atzma'ut, everyone partied, and then what happened? War broke out. And the Jordanians put Yerushalayim under siege, and therefore it wasn't possible for the burials of people who died in Yerushalayim. He didn't die from the war, he just died from natural causes. And he died in Shavuos, they weren't able to take him to Har HaZeisim in Yerushalayim, because it was in Jordan, and the Jordanians put us under siege, and it was wartime. So he's actually buried in the Ger Yeshiva, has a little courtyard right in Machane Yehuda. There's a Sfas Emes Yeshiva. Sfas Emes was the name of the one of the earlier Ger Rebbes, and there's a yeshiva named after him. I think it was the Ger Yeshiva. He was buried in the courtyard in Machane Yehuda, in the Shuk Machane Yehuda. Anyway, so the Ger Rebbe said the following. He said that the halacha is that if something is muktzah when Shabbos comes in, it continues to be muktzah all Shabbos long, even if the reason for it being muktzah goes away. So therefore, let's apply it to our situation. Erev Shavuos. We did not yet have the pasuk Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. That means Erev Shavuos, milk was Tamei. It was not kosher. It was Yotzei Min HaTamei Tamei. It was coming from Eber Min HaChai, and it has the halacha of Eber Min HaChai. And therefore, when Shavuos comes in, it's not kosher. What happens to food that's not kosher when Shabbos comes in? Anyone know? What happens to food that's not edible? You remember we talked about rice that's not cooked? We talked about beans that aren't cooked? We talked about raw meat? Those are all muktzah. So therefore, milk, says the Ger Rebbe, was not kosher. It should have been muktzah when Shavuos comes in, because it was not kosher. When did it become mutter? When did it become kosher? When we got the Torah, when we got Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. That's when it became mutter to be used and edible and kosher. Well, we have a halacha that it's muktzah. So if it was muktzah when Shabbos came in, when Shavuos came in, that means it stays muktzah all Shavuos long. So how could we say what we started with 20 minutes ago, that the reason why we have a minute to eat milchiks on Shavuos is because that's what the Jewish people ate at Matan Torah, because they couldn't have meat, so they had milk. Says the Ger Rebbe, milk was muktzah on that first day, on that first Shavuos of history. And that's his argument against this explanation. Again, if the only reason why, it's a little bit complicated, we built about, there were about four or five steps here. If the only reason why milk is kosher is because of Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, which we only got at Matan Torah, so before that, it was Tameh because it's like Eber Min HaChai. So when Shavuos came in, when Matan Torah Day Shavuos, 3,000 years ago, when that happened, it was muktzah, it was not edible, and therefore it was muktzah and stayed muktzah the whole day of Shavuos, even after we got the Torah, even after we learned the pasuk of Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. And therefore, how could anyone give a reasoning that we have a minhag to eat milchiks on Shavuos, because that's what the Jews did at Har Sinai? They couldn't have, it was muktzah. That's a very creative argument and deflection or rejection of the famous classical answer why we eat milchiks. This is rejection of it. But if we take this rejection of that first explanation, we could come up, based on this logic, with a new understanding, a second answer to our original question. Why do we have a minhag? I'll take a question in a minute later. Why do we have a minhag of milchiks? Well, based on what we just said, we have a new explanation. Because what are we celebrating? Yesterday, milk was not kosher. And today, on Shavuos, at Matan Torah, milk became kosher. So how do you celebrate the fact that milk now is kosher? You eat milchiks. And that's the suggestion of Rav Moshe Sternbuch. I told you a story about him once. I'll repeat it for those who weren't here when I told the story. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who's the dayan in Johannesburg, half a year and half a year in Har Nof at the the Beis Knesset Hagra in Har Nof. And I went to, he's an incredible, brilliant, he's on the Badatz and the Eidah Haredes, he's a brilliant, brilliant man, and an incredible posek. I went to ask him a question. I was learning in Israel, and he was sitting in front, and I, the American, with a proud command of the Hebrew language, approached him and started asking him my question, my broken Hebrew, as good as my Hebrew is, it's still, especially speaking to somebody of his stature, it was I started stuttering and couldn't find the right words, at which point he just interrupted me and said, my English is probably better than your Hebrew, so why don't you speak to me in English? So Moshe Sternbuch gives this very answer. He says, on Shavuos, you know why we have a minhag? This is answer number two to our question. Why do we have a minhag to eat milchiks on Shavuos? Because until Shavuos, until Matan Torah, it wasn't kosher. And only because of Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, meaning the first Pasuk in Torah, Pasuk in Chumash, did it become kosher. So we celebrate for all of Shavuos in history by eating cheesecake to celebrate the fact that it was today that we became able to eat cheesecake. Question, first Leba, yeah.
I don't understand the question to begin with. We didn't know anything about kosher either. So eating it up is not a point. You're eating, if
That's a complicated question. That's a good question. We'll leave it for now. It's a good question. It happens to be, I'll just to explain where you're going, it happens to be, the way the Shulchan Aruch brings down this minhag, it happens to say, the Ramah, it's not the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah says, there's a minhag, we have the minhag, all of us, he says. Says, b'chol ha'aratzos, we all have the minhag to eat. Milchiks, he says on the first day of Shavuos. Yeah, what was your question about the first day of Shavuos? Did you ask a question on this, or... Okay, maybe we answered it. Terrific. So far, we gave two suggestions where we have this minhag. To, yeah, Tamar.
Sorry. Is this always how you move the process, that the pasuk that comes later changes the reality of the halacha?
This is a very unique application of halacha. Matan Torah is a very complicated thing in terms of how the halachas of Bnei Yisrael changed in that one day from people who didn't have any mitzvos, and all of a sudden we had all the mitzvos. It's a little bit of a complicated day.
Because that's different. It's very different than saying, okay, Amara, they got these halachot, and at a later point they got more halachot.
You're asking a similar question to Leiba. You're asking that... Right, no problem. You're asking, I just sort of cut her off also, so I cut both of you off equally. Leiba and you, I think, are asking that before we had Matan Torah, we didn't have any halachos of kashrus, right? So how could something become mukta and off limits if it's, because it's not kosher, when anyway you're allowed to eat that kosher? I think that's your question and Leiba's question. It's a good question. I don't want to get into it now because it will throw myself off and it throws me off. It will throw off everybody else, probably. So, I'll try to think of a good answer after this. Yeah.
How does this matter? But didn't Avram serve milk or cream to the guests?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that in a little while. Okay. We'll talk about it. We're gonna finish with that. Let's suggest, not suggest. This is another answer to why we have the minhag to eat milchik san Shavuos, and this actually is the suggestion that the Ramah himself suggests in the Shulchan Aruch. But before that, this you might also have heard of, possibly, some yes, some no. Before that, we have to go into some halachos of eating milchiks and eating fleishich. So, in the halachos of basar b'chalav in the Shulchan Aruch, it talks about what happened after you eat meat. You're supposed to wait how long? Yes, the Shulchan Aruch does say 6 hours. The Ramah says there might be some other possibilities. The Shulchan Aruch, at least for Sfaradim, says 6 hours. The Ramah says maybe an hour, maybe something else. We're not going to get into that. But let's switch things around. Let's say you want to have milchiks, and then you want to have fleishos. So, there are things that have to happen on the table. So again, you have, let's say, you have your quiche. And now you finished eating your quiche, and you want to have, you're still hungry, because quiche is very light, right? You eat quiche because it's light. But you realize that it's light, and it didn't fill you up, so now you want to have some real food, so you can take out the steak. So the halacha is that you're not just able to take the steak, you're not just permitted to take the steak out of the refrigerator or out of the, I'm sorry, not the fridge, the grill, and put it on the table. You have to clear off the quiche from the table before you bring the steak onto the table. That's the first halacha. Not only that, but you also have to remove all the pieces of bread with which you ate the quiche. That milchik quiche. You have to remove all the bread that was eaten with the milchiks, and only then could you bring out either the meat or new bread with which you plan on eating the meat. You also have to use a different tablecloth, although they point out that nowadays we don't put our food directly on the tablecloth, we use plates, so that minimizes the need to change the tablecloth a little bit. Halacha l'maisa, for example, let's say you have the following scenario. Shabbos afternoon, you have lunch. And you have a fleishika lunch, as most people have on Shabbos afternoon. And you have 4 slices of challah that didn't get finished. You put those 4 pieces of challah in a bag. Comes Shabbos Shedis, you're still fleishik, so you have, I don't know, you're lecha mishnei. So you still have those 4 pieces of challah in a bag. Saturday night, you want to have malava malka. And you had enough flesh over Shabbos, you want to make yourself some, I don't know, some grilled cheese maybe? That's what I like from Malav Malka sometimes. okay, let's say you're too full Motzei Shabbos, so you're just going to get away with some, you know, wimpy Malacha Malka. Sunday morning comes, you're ready for a proper Sunday morning breakfast, you want to make yourself some French toast. How do you make French toast? Challah, eggs, if you put some milk in, it makes it a little richer. So, can I use those four pieces of bread from my Fleishka meal? I kept them clean, I was very careful with them. So the halacha is, in these halachas that we just mentioned, you're not allowed to use the same pieces of bread that were served with fleishchs as the same loaf of bread as in the same meal as a mochka meal. Meaning some of those bread that was used with fleishchs cannot be used with mochiks. That's step number one. Step number two, one of the karbanos, actually let's start before that. Okay, let's start with this. One of the karbanos on Shavuos was, or the main carbon on Shavuos was the Shtei Halachem. Shtei Halachem. And we want to, you know, we like reminding ourselves of the carbonos of the day on every Yontif. How do I know that? Where else do we remind ourselves of the carbonos of the day on a Yontif? On Pesach. What do we do on Pesach that reminds us of the carbonos of Pesach? If you say carbon Pesach, you're half right. You're half wrong also. What? The egg, exactly. What's the egg zecher for? Karban Chagiga and the Karban Pesach for the Zroa for the Karban Pesach, whatever it might be. So we have a Zecher for the, on the Seder table for the Karbanos of the day. Well, on Shavuos, I want to also have a Zecher to remind myself of the Karbanos of Shavuos. What was the Karban of Shavuos? Shtei Halachem, two loaves of bread. So, says the Ramah, this is a beautiful answer, explanation of the Ramah, why do I have to have milchiks on Shavuos? Says the Ramah, because we have to engineer a circumstance where you must halachically have two loaves of bread. How can I engineer halachic and halachic imperative to have two loaves of bread? By having a milchka meal and a fleishka meal, because we just learned 3 minutes ago that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that you're not allowed to have the same bread for milchiks as you have with fleishes, even if you were careful that nothing gets dirty. And therefore, if you have a milchka meal and a fleishka meal, you by definition, according to the Shulchan Aruch, cannot be using the same bread. So by definition, you must be having two loaves of bread. Wonderful. Now I have a zecher to the Shtei Halachem, to the two loaves of bread, which was the karban on Shavuos. And that's the beautiful answer of the Ramah himself that he offers in the Shulchan Aruch itself of why we have this minhag to eat milchiks on Shavuos. That was, what was that, the third? That was the third explanation. So the third answer, why we have a minhag to have milchiks on Shavuos, is to remind ourselves of the Shtei Halachem, which was the korban of Shavuos, and how do we have a commemoration for Shtei Halachem? By forcing ourselves into a situation where we must have two lechems, two loaves of bread. And that is how? That is by having a milchiks meal and a fleishka meal. Now, while we're talking about this, just some halacha l'maisa. A lot of people, let me rephrase that. I never knew the proper parameters of this halacha. In fact, most people are a little bit confused. I'm only saying that because I never knew this until a few very recently, so I'm just assuming everybody was confused like I was, but that's just projection. So if you weren't confused, don't let me project my own confusion onto you. Anyway, the halachas of leftover bread is as follows. Let's say you have a challah at your Shabbos meal. You cut it in half, and from one half you slices, and the other half you leave whole because you want it to stay fresh. Which pieces are we concerned of might have, even inadvertently, possibly by mistake, touched meat, and therefore you're not allowed to have it for grilled cheese, Motzei Shabbos? Only the slices. Only the slices that you sliced to eat at that meal that perhaps you had your, whatever you ate with your hummus or your matbucha. Anything that was still a chunk of challah that wasn't sliced to eat, that does not have these halachos. And even if it stayed on the table for the duration of your fleishika Shabbos lunch, if of course you were careful and you made sure not to let it touch, not to let the challah drip on it, and sometimes you reach over to scoop some challah out because it's too hot or too heavy, so you reach over and then something could drip. But if you were careful not to let your big half a loaf of challah touch the meat, then that loaf of challah you are permitted to have with your grilled cheese, as your grilled cheese, Motzei Shabbos, or your French toast on Sunday morning with the milk to make it light and fluffy. That will be mutter. It's only those sliced pieces of challah. This is what Moshe Feinstein says in Igros Moshe, Chelek Yoredeya, Chelek Aleph, Simon 38, Lamed Ches. And therefore, any of the small pieces you cannot use for your grilled cheese, any of the big chunks that were not yet cut, you are permitted to use with your grilled cheese. Hold on. According to this, which is the halacha l'maisa, this is how we paskin, the answer that we just gave falls away. The answer of the Rama falls away. What was the answer of the Rama? By having a milchaka meal, you force yourself to have two loaves of bread. That's not true. It just forces me not to have slices from the previous meal at the next meal. But I could have my half a loaf that I never cut. I could have one challah for all of Shavuos. I'll use half of it in the morning with my fleishika meal, and it will stay there. And I'll use half of it for my afternoon, whatever I'll eat later on in the day with milchiks. I'm not forced. There's no halachic imperative to have two different loaves of bread because one was fleishos, one was milchiks. No, I can have one loaf of bread that's used both for a fleishika meal and for a milchika meal. So this halacha l'maisa psak, which we do follow, will make the Ramah's explanation fall away. That's a rejection, at least according to halacha l'maisa. Yes, the question. We're going to talk about having milchiks and fleishos in the same meal or one after the other. That's going to be, we're going to talk about that in about 3 minutes. Okay, but before we talk about all those halachas, which we'll end with, I want to give one final explanation, at least this section of the shiur will finish right now, a very beautiful idea as a fourth explanation why we eat, have a minhag to eat milchiks on Shavuos. Yeah, the first two questions. The reason why we have a minhag to have milchiks on Shavuos is because we want to commemorate the Karban of Shavuos. The Karban of Shavuos is shtei halechem. Two loaves of bread were brought as a Karban. So how do we commemorate two loaves of bread being brought as a Karban? By having two loaves of bread. So how can I figure out a way that I must have two loaves of bread? If you have a milchka meal and a fleishka meal, that forces you, halachically, you must have two loaves of bread. And therefore, you'll have your commemoration for the shtei halach and the two loaves of bread that was the korban.
Don't we have to have two loaves of bread anyway?
Oh, your question. So, Lachamish is a nice halacha. Lachamish is a nice halacha. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Any other questions? Let's go to the final explanation that I'm going to discuss this evening for our minhag to have milchiks. And this is the Beis Halevi's suggestion. Who is the Beis Halevi? He was Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandfather. Was Rabbi Soloveitchik, that from YU's father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who also taught in YU. His father, I mean the Rav's grandfather, was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father was the Beis Halevi. A cute story about the Beis Halevi, just to get an idea for his personality. He was the Rav in Brisk, and he had whatever shitas he had, again, about whatever areas of Torah. He had a certain position that he held regarding Hilchos Trefos, a certain halachas about after you shecht an animal, checking it, and what is defined as treif, what wasn't defined as treif. And a butcher in town, in Brisk, came to the Beis Halevi with a shayla and a cow that had just been shechted, brought to the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi said it's treif. Okay. Cow obviously is not cheap. Not cheap now, and I'm sure a cow wasn't cheap then. But then the Beis Halevi started taking out money and paying him for the value of the cow. He said, Rebbe, I had a cow. The cow had a sickness. It's treif. Why are you paying for me for the value of the cow? He said, because I hold it's treif. The shach in the Shulchan Aruch holds it's not treif. So I can't tell you it's kosher because I hold it's not kosher. But you don't have to lose money because of me having a position, having a halachic position. That's my problem. Why should that be your problem? So I have to tell you it's treif, but why should you have to lose money because of my halachic position? So I'm going to pay you for the value of the animal that I said is treif. That's just the Beis Halevi, a little different side of the Beis. He was a genius and a gaon, but also that sensitive Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which is always goes in tandem with the great Talmidei Chachamim. So he gives the following beautiful, beautiful explanation to why we have a minhag to have milchiks on Shavuos. First of all, there's a medrash. The medrash says the following. we're very fortunate to have Torah, right? Why are we fortunate? Because other people wanted it. Well, the Malachim wanted it. The Malachim were very angry, kivyachol, they were very perturbed that Hashem was going to give us the Torah and not leave it for them. Says the Medrash in Tehillim Perek Ches, when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, up to Shemayim, and he didn't come down, and of course Bnei Yisrael did Chet HaEgel, and the Luchos were broken, Samchu Malachi HaShareis, Malachi HaShareis rejoiced. Va'amra, and they said, oh, Achshav Tachzer HaTorah Eleinu. We're going to get our Torah back. Baruch Hashem, they did Chet HaEgel down there, and we're going to get the Torah back. And all of a sudden, guess who's climbing up the mountain? Moshe Rabbeinu is climbing up, and the Malachim come to HaKadosh Baruch, and they say to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this doesn't make sense. Yesterday they rejected you, and today you're just letting them have the Torah a second time? Doesn't make sense. Why are you doing this? It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I think you mentioned this point earlier, you're challenging Bnei Yisrael about taking the Torah? Don't you remember that you guys, you Malachim, when you went down to visit Avram Avinu gave you basar v'chalav, milk and meat, shenemar v'yikachem av v'chalav v'ven havakar, and they ate it. And the youngest little tiny cheder kid in the Jewish community comes back from yeshiva and his mother gives him, you know, a milk and cheese sandwich. What does he tell his mom? Sorry, mom, we can't eat milk and cheese. Or, in Uncle Moshe's word, and we will never, never, never eat milk and meat together. Anyone know that song from Uncle Moshe? Good, you see? The Medrash knew what he was talking about. And so, the child will respond to somebody who tried to give them milk and meat together. Hayom lomadnu rabbi, limdani rabbi, my rabbi told me that lo tevashal gediva chalevi moi, not allowed to have milk and meat together. So the Malachim didn't have a response to Hashem. And at that moment, at that choice moment when the Malachim were silenced, Hashem said to Moshe, I'm giving you the Torah. That's the Medrash and Tehillim, Perek Ches. Says the Beis Halevi, this beautiful idea. Based on this Medrash, what is the Jewish claim to Torah over that of the Malachim who so desperately wanted the Torah? It's the fact that they didn't do what? They weren't careful with what? Basar b'chalav. And that was their, you know, smack in the face. That, like, as my children say, busted. Right? That was their, you know, sorry guys, you lose it. And what was our fortune that we are zocha to, yes, get the Torah? The fact that we are careful with basar b'chalav. And therefore, we show our care for Basar B'Cholav specifically on Shavuos, because that's the day in which we were victorious to get the Torah because of our care and our concern and our discerning diktuk in being careful with the halachas of Basar B'Cholav. And so we have a minhag, suggests the Beis Halevi, to eat milk, to eat meat on the same day, and to follow all the halachos carefully of separating and not eating them together and eating them in the right order, and all the halachos that we'll now see in a moment about how to eat basar with chalav and in a way that is permitted but not asar. And that's, I think, a beautiful idea, because that means that this is the last and the final explanation I was going to give tonight. That's telling us the whole reason why we're zochet to Torah is specifically because of basar b'chalav, based on this medrash. And that's what we have a minhag, to eat milk. And of course, you have to have meat on Yontif, on every Yontif. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to have meat. The mitzvah of simcha, certainly for men on Yontif, is to eat basar, originally basar of the shlamim, of the karban shlamim. Now we don't have the shlamim, so it's regular meat. So there's a mitzvah to have meat. And this minhag tells us to have milk, so we could sort of reenact that which makes us zocha to get Torah for ourselves, to be zocha, for Bnei Yisrael to be zocha to Torah. So before, yeah, question. They ate it. Avraham didn't eat it. Avraham had every right to give it to them, because Avraham assumed they were not Jewish. Avraham assumed they were people, non-Jews. I'm allowed to feed. If I have a non-Jewish employee, I'm permitted to feed that person. So well, maybe not cook together,
so
but.
Full months in Torah, we also have all the basar b'chalav.
Before Matan Torah, certainly the Avos were careful with it. With the rest of the Jewish people, that I don't know. Certainly the Avos, we have a tradition that the Avos were careful. Okay, so those were the four explanations. Again, just to summarize the four explanations of why there is a minhag. The first one is the Mishnah Berurah suggestion that we got so many halachas so quickly, and we had no choice but to eat milk because we couldn't take care of meat quickly enough, and that we had a number of rejections for. The second suggestion is that milk became mutter only on Shavuos because we got the pasuk of Chalav Udvash, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. The third explanation was, what was the third explanation? Oh, the Ramah, that we want to commemorate the two loaves of bread, so therefore we force ourselves to halakhically require two loaves of bread by having a milk meal, by having milk and meat, which demands halakhically two loaves of bread. And finally, this fourth explanation that we have a minhag to eat milchiks is because milchik, the care that we have for eating milchiks and fleishos together is itself our zechus to be kona Torah. I want to finish off the next 10 minutes with some halacha to talk about if it will apply to you this Shavuos, or it could apply to you on any weekday, about what happens when you want to have milchiks and then fleishos. Of course, you can have milchiks after fleishos, but you can have milchiks followed by fleisha. So what are the halachos of that procedure? So there are, if you want to write down, everyone learn stop, drop, and roll, right? My kids come home from, usually the same week that they visit the fire department is the week they learn about stop, drop, and roll. And the fire department gives them these coloring books with stop, drop, and roll. They don't know what stop, drop, and roll means. They just know you're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. So stop, drop, and roll. So we're going to do our stop, drop, and roll for eating fleishos after milchiks. It's called wash your hands, chew, and rinse. Okay, say that quickly with me, please. Wash your hands, chew, and rinse. If you want to do it quicker, just do wash, chew, and rinse. But wash and rinse sound like it's the same thing, so that's why I added wash your hands, chew, and rinse. You don't rinse your hand. You don't... Okay, we'll see that. So Shulchan Aruch says these halachas are in Yoredeya, where it talks about basar b'chalav. Simon Peites, that's 89, is where it talks about not eating milchiks and fleishos together. So Shulchan Aruch says that after milchiks, it is permitted to eat meat how quickly afterwards? How long do you have to wait after eating milk? Who says half an hour? Who says... what?
I grew up with half an hour.
You grew up with half an hour. That's very religious because the Shulchan Aruch says miyad.
Right. I don't know.
But no, miyad in Kurumachi is actually 30. No, I'm joking. It is not... nor. You're allowed to eat milchiks immediately, says the Shulchan Aruch. I'll tell you where you got your minhag from. Don't worry about it. You keep on doing what your father did and what they did all the way back till whenever. So you're allowed to eat, says the Shulchan Aruch, meat immediately after milk, as long as three things. You have to look at your hands. You have to look at your hands. Why do you have to look at your hands? If you've ever seen my children eating cheese doodles, you'll understand why you have to look at your hands. Do you know cheese doodles? They have that, like, bright neon orange residue. Right. So that's why you have to look at your hands, to see if you have cheese doodle residue on your hands, to make sure you don't have any stuff stuck on your hands. It happens to be, and this is very important, even though that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shach, who's the prime commentator on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says that nowadays the minhag is not just to look at your hands, which the Shulchan Aruch is satisfied with, but you have to rinse your hands. So step number one, this happened in my house 3 days ago, last week. My son had cheese for supper, and then he realized that cheese doesn't fill him up. He decided he will have the meatballs that my wife had made for supper. Okay, but he just had cheese. So what does he have to do? I told him, go wash your hands. They're clean. Go wash them anyway. That's first step. After that, even though, again, Shulchan Aruch said you only have to look at them, but we are machmir to always wash the hands. By the way, the Pischei Tshuva, one of the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, says, let's say you ate it with a fork. It doesn't work for cheese doodles. But let's say you ate your, I don't know, cheese quiche with your fork. You are not obligated to wash your hands. Why? Because if you use the fork, then the fork has to be washed, not your hands. So that will be just like, stop and roll, right? Drop, what are the three again? stop, drop, and roll. That would be just drop and roll, which sounds like rock and roll, so that's fun. Okay, so the first thing you have to do is wash your hands unless you ate it with a fork. The second thing is you need kinuach. Kinuach means wiping. It doesn't mean you take a napkin and you wipe your teeth. It doesn't mean that you remove your dentures and wipe them with a napkin either. It means you have to choose something that is not like peanut butter. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara do not say the words peanut butter, but I'm going to take whatever they were talking about and say it's talking about peanut butter. You're not allowed to use peanut butter. You have to choose something other than something that has a peanut butter texture. You could chew, celery is great, bread will work, anything that you want, actually. Shulchan Aruch says, b'chol davar sheyirtza, anything you want, as long as it's not going to stick to the top of your palate, like, for example, dates. Sometimes they do stick to the top of your palate in the worst kind of way, but forget it. Peanut butter, dates, the Shulchan Aruch says, but anything that doesn't stick to your palate can be chewed. I actually told my son, I didn't tell him go eat, you know, crackers or bread. I told him go brush your teeth, because I think that would certainly suffice. But I didn't know the Pischei Tshuva, because the Pischei Tshuva says it's not enough just that the chewing motion cleanses the teeth. It's also, the Pischei Tshuva says, you should swallow something. So I thought brushing your teeth would be even better than the Shulchan Aruch, but according to this Pischei Tshuva, which I just saw today, it should be a chewing with a swallowing. In which case, let's say chewing gum. Chewing gum, there's a swallowing action. I don't know. That's a good question. It depends if it's a swallowing motion or it's actual cleaning out, you know, whatever's going down your esophagus as you swallow. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm sure the Achrona will talk about these kinds of shilas. That is a good point. And then the last one is rinse, right? Wash hands, chew, and rinse. You have to rinse your mouth. You have to rinse your mouth with anything you want to rinse your mouth with water. Yayin, the Shulchan Aruch says. And those are the three steps. Now, somebody asked before.
Rinse and swallow, or rinse and
spit? It didn't say to swallow.
Like, people have like a shot of whiskey or something.
Why would you spit out whiskey?
What?
Why would you possibly spit it out?
No, that's what I'm saying. People drink it, so would that be okay?
That would be great, but that's only the third step. You need the second step also and the first step also. So you'd have to. I mean, that's a great chumrah. It has to be whiskey.
That's what I don't know.
That's your minhag. Hey, keep your minhag up, especially when they're convenient, right? So no, it doesn't have to be whiskey. It could be anything. So again, you're going to wash your hands. You have to chew something and swallow it lechatchila. You have to rinse out your mouth, and then you could eat fleishis immediately. Do you have to make a bracha achrona after the milk product that you ate? Tamara, that was your question, right? Do you have to make a bracha achrona after you eat? But that was Afira's question, sorry. So the answer is you do not need to make a bracha achrona after milk. That is correct. You can eat it in the same meal. That is correct. You are permitted to have meat, let me rephrase that, to have milk, and then in the same meal to have meat, and you don't even need to make a new bracha. So if you said a shahakol and you drank a cup of milk, you could wash your hands. Well, if you use the cup, you don't even have to wash your hands. You will take a bite of a cookie. You will drink some schnapps. Only find English or Irish or Scotland, of course. Find bourbon or rye or something like that. And then you will not even say another shahakal. You just take a bite of a steak. Okay? If you drank milk, you're suggesting maybe you don't have to chew because nothing was stuck in your teeth. Great question. I don't know the answer. And what you're saying makes sense. I just don't want to say, I don't want to give a cool if I don't hadn't seen it explicitly. Yeah. Okay. So I told you the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says exactly as I said. It says the word miyad, clearly that you do not have to wait. There is a Zohar. And the Zohar, which if you want to be machmir for, that's great. I don't think you should be machmir on somebody else's expense for the Zohar. It did not make its way into the Shulchan Aruch. It might have made its way into the Ramah, hinted perhaps. But the Zohar says, has a line. I looked at it inside. I honestly didn't understand it because I don't understand Zohar. I looked at it today. But the Zohar says something about Bisha'a chada, that milk and meat eaten shouldn't be eaten in the same hour. That is actually, might be the source. The Gra says that that Zohar is the source for the Ramah's opinion. I told you the Shulchan Aruch says you have to wait 6 hours. The Ramah's opinion is that Me'ikar HaDin, you only have to wait 1 hour. After eating meat to have ice cream. After eating meat, you have to wait 1 hour. That's what the Ramah says, Me'ikar HaDin. Where is that from? Says the Gra on the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah got it from the Zohar who says you're not allowed to eat milk and meat in the same hour. I think it could be, and this might be the minhag that your family has, to wait a half hour. They understand that 31 minutes is already, you know, ruba kukulo, 31 minutes is already like an hour. It's 51% there, it's like the whole thing. And therefore, that might be where your minhag comes from. Therefore, that Zohar doesn't distinguish between milk then meat or meat then milk. It just says, don't eat them in the same hour. That might be where this chumra would come from. Would I be machmir for this for a child? Definitely not. Would I be machmir like this for somebody else? Probably not either. For myself, if I want, I could be, maybe. That's a totally different issue. Yes, if you have cheeses that are aged for over 6 months, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, that you have to treat that as though it's just like meat, you have to wait 6 hours. So too, if you have cheese, like for example, Parmesan cheese, which is very annoying because it doesn't even taste good. So it's like you became milchix, and like milchix with a capital M for something, like, okay, you become flacious, you got a steak out of it, you got a hot dog out of it, okay, so you can't have your milk with coffee, you can't have ice cream, you live. But like, I went to a restaurant once, and I got whatever, maybe ravioli, I don't think it was lasagna, because you don't put, I think it was like a ravioli or something, some pasta dish, and they said, the waiter said, do you like Parmesan? I said, of course, I think it's free, I don't have to pay extra. So he stands there, and he turns the thing, and he gives me Parmesan cheese, and then I come home, and I'm milchix for 6 hours. I can't have any, like, real food. So you'd be 3 hours. So those are the halachas of eating milchix and then fleishis. Any other questions, you're welcome to ask me afterwards. A freilichin shavuos, a simcha dikah shavuos, you should all be zocha to be mekabel Torah and to have a year full of hatzlacha in your learning and in your avodas Hashem and in coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol achad lefi mashu, each one of you in the own way that is your unique way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wish you a wonderful Yom Tov.